The subject today we're talking about is the resurrection. The resurrection. And I'm going to bring us right down to where we are in this passage in 1 Corinthians 15. But if you'll stick a finger in 1 Corinthians 15 and flip back to the beginning of that chapter, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want us to look at a passage there. It has everything to do with the passage that we're looking at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is by way of introduction. Look in verse 14. Before we read it, I want you to sort of explain what it says. God is dividing the human race here into two categories of people. There's only two categories. The entire human race, every generation from Adam up to now. He divides us all into two categories and only two. Look, in verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, here's the first category. It says, but the natural man. Now to understand that, remember when God created man in the beginning, He made man body, soul, and human spirit. Body, soul, and human spirit. And the soul is that which connected man to the earth. Naturally. It was earthy. The spirit, the human spirit, connected the first man to God. And when Adam died, he died spiritually. His soul was still intact, but his human spirit died. And so he needed to be born again. He needed to be regenerated. But notice here it says, but the natural man, literally it says the soulish man, the soulish man, the natural man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Can't teach a natural man the Word of God. Doesn't understand. For they, the things of the Spirit of God, are foolishness to him, nor can he know them. The natural man does not have the ability to understand the things of the Spirit of God. That's what it's saying here. Does not understand the Word of God. Impossible. The soulish man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually understood. They are spiritually discerned. Now look at the other category in verse 15. But he who is spiritual, that's the contrast between the natural. The spiritual man, that is the man who has been made spiritually alive. Once dead spiritually, now alive spiritually. The spiritual, he who is spiritual, judges, that's properly evaluates or discerns all things. That is, those of us who are born of God, we have been given the divine viewpoint of everything. We understand from God's perspective a lot of phenomenon. We see through the eyes of God things that are happening in the world, for instance. We have the divine viewpoint. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. That is, an unbeliever has an impossible time understanding a believer. If you have a neighbor who is an unsaved neighbor, they're not going to understand why you come here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and they're not going to understand why you care about studying the Bible. They're not going to understand that. They're not going to understand what makes you tick. They can't understand that. They may have a desire to, but they can't. And then he says, look, verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? What unbeliever can understand the mind of God? Impossible. Can't do it. And then he says this, look at this. But we have the mind of Christ. Is that not awesome? That is, those of us who have been made alive because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we now have the mind of Christ. That's why we can discern all things. That's why we can properly evaluate the things of the world. That's why we can understand the Word of God. That's why we can understand the mind of God. Because we have the mind of Christ. Is that not awesome? To me, that is unbelievable. It's amazing, is it not? We have the mind of Christ. We've got a natural, and we've got a spiritual. And the entire human race, you fall into those, everybody in this room falls into one of those two categories. If you're a natural person or you're a spiritual person. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Let me plug you into the context here. Paul is talking about the resurrection. And he asks some questions. He says, first, how are the dead raised up? And with what kind of body do they come? Those are the two questions before us. How are the dead raised up, and with what kind of body do they come? And he answers the first one with, he begins, foolish one, you fool. And then he says, that which is dead, the seed rather, must die before it's made alive. Those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have spiritual life. But this physical life must die before the spiritual is made alive. That's the point there. That's what he's saying. The seed has to die. And then he talks about giving that seed a body, remember? And not the same body, but talked about a wheat seed producing wheat and an apple seed producing apples, and so on and so forth. To every seed its own body, he said. So, that answers the first question. How are the dead raised up? And then he begins to answer, with what kind of body do they come? In other words, what is the resurrection body going to be like? And he made this point. He said, the resurrection body has a new kind of flesh. You know, God's going to give it a body as it pleases Him, but this new body, this resurrection body, has a different kind of flesh. And remember, Paul says there's one kind of flesh of man, another kind of flesh of an animal, another kind of flesh of a fish, and another kind of a bird. And his whole idea there is the resurrection body has a new kind of flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, His body that He has now has that supernatural flesh, that new kind of flesh, a flesh that we don't know anything about yet. Now, we have this physical flesh, you know, just reach up and feel your flesh. You have that physical flesh, right? But one day you're going to have a new kind of flesh. And then he talks about, into the same subject, with what kind of body do they come? He talks about our body being buried. And we're buried in corruption, we're sown in corruption, but raised in incorruption. We're raised in dishonor, planted in dishonor, buried in dishonor, raised in glory. And we're also buried in weakness, raised in power. And then he says this, we're buried a natural person with a natural body, but when we come back from the dead, we're raised with a spiritual body, a new body. So Paul now continues to answer the question, with what kind of body do they come? Now we're right up to where we need to be in the passage. Right there. So let's pray. Father, would you open to our minds the truth of this text? And Father, I realize that if the Holy Spirit is to teach us, we have to understand what is being said, what is written here. And we have to understand it. And then we allow the Spirit of God to make it jump alive to us. So teach us your living word this morning, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So we begin right in the middle of the verse as promised, and right in the middle of verse 44, the apostle writes, there is a natural body, that's a soulish body, remember? A soulish body, a body made of flesh. That's what Adam the first produced. And then he says, and there is a spiritual body. A spiritual body. Two categories of bodies. A natural body, that's what we have now. And there is a spiritual body, that is the body promised to us one day in the resurrection. The resurrection body. And then he continues, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Adam the first produced a civilization of people. That's a fallen race, human beings, fallen human beings with fallen human bodies. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. So that we can trace our, like I often said, we can trace our body back to the original pair in the garden, Adam and Eve. They were our great-great-great-great grandfather and grandmother. So we have been given bodies like their body. But I want you to think of it like this. Those of you who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, you now have a living human spirit inside of you. You have been made alive. Well, what God is going to do one day is He's going to prepare a body for that living human spirit. Isn't that not, that's incredible, isn't it? He's going to prepare a body for that living human spirit. And it won't be this physical fallen body. It'll be a brand new model. A brand new model. Something different, something we cannot, with our human minds, we can't comprehend that. And as I said, we don't know what kind of skin we're gonna have. We can't appreciate that. But God is the original creator. And since He fashioned the first one, He fashioned this one, He has the power to fashion the other one. So we can go back to Adam. Adam produced this corrupt body that we have, that is Adam the first. And then it says here, notice the next line, I love this line, the last Adam. God is referring to Jesus Christ as an Adam. Not Adam the first, but Adam the last. Now He calls Jesus Adam the last because there's not going to be any more. There's not going to be the Adam the third or fourth or fifth. Jesus is going to be the last Adam. But as Adam the first produced a civilization of fallen human beings, Adam the last is at this moment procreating a new civilization of spiritually living beings. That's what He says here when He says the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now we have to be made alive spiritually. If we're going to receive this resurrection body one day, we have to be made alive spiritually. How does this happen? Now we know how our physical body came about. We know we were born from corruptible seed, right? Natural human seed. But we know that seed, as I mentioned, was a corrupt seed. It was corrupt. And the result of that corrupt seed is we all die. It produced a civilization that dies. And the Bible says one out of one, that we live in this human body, one out of one is going to die. That is if Jesus doesn't come back first, right? We're wanting Him to come back so we don't have to go through the shadow of death. But we're destined to die if we live in this physically fallen body. Adam saw to that with that corrupt seed. But Jesus Christ is procreating a new civilization, and he's also using seed, but not physically corrupt seed. Flip over quickly to 1 Peter chapter 1. Look in verse 23, a very familiar verse to many of you who have become part of our discipleship training class. And by the way, that starts again today, and we have to have our deacons meeting at 4 and then our discipleship training at 5. Roy Webb's class begins today, I'm sure. Resumes today. Look in verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Having been born again, now notice how we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Where does it come from? Notice. Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So the Word of God, then, is a new living seed. It's not corrupt. It missed the fall. It bypassed the fall. It's a living seed. And then he says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. That is, the glory of man is that fame is fleeting, isn't it? I mean, you know, we sort of struggle for material possessions and fame. We want fame. We want to be honored in this life, but it's all fleeting. It's going to be gone. And everything we can see with our eyes is one day going to be gone. This building one day is going to be rubble that we hold so dear. It's going to perish, and our bodies are going to perish. And like the flower of grass, we're going to die. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures how long? It's a forever seed. It's a seed that produces a civilization that lasts how long? Forever. Unlike Adam's corruptible seed that produces a civilization that dies, Adam the last is using an incorruptible seed to produce a civilization designed by him to last how long? Forever. That's where we get our eternal life. Now look, it says in the last part of verse 25, now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Here's what he's saying. The gospel is God's living seed ministered by God, the second person of the Trinity, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that's building His church. He's the one that's giving the gospel. He's the one that's sharing the gospel from Him through us to other people. And that becomes this supernatural seed that spawns in us new life. That's why I've often said, you know, if you just unleash the gospel, you have done something amazing. Because God the Holy Spirit then can direct that seed into the soil of a mind. And in the soil of the mind, God the Holy Spirit can germinate that seed. And what's the result of that germination is faith, living faith in Jesus Christ. And a person then is born again. We receive God's life. So we become the recipient of a heavenly seed that germinates a new life in us. So we have been given eternal life, life from God. Now what God is doing is designing a body for us to fit that life. That's what the resurrection body is all about. That's what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 15. We've been given a body to accommodate this new life. So it has to be a new supernatural spiritual body. It can't be a body like the old fallen body. And it won't be like the fallen body that is planted. Remember? That's sown in dishonor. This new one's raised in power. That's sown a natural body. This new one's raised a spiritual body. That's sown in corruption. This one's raised in incorruption. That's sown in dishonor, but raised in glory. That's why we call it a glorified body. Amazing. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, finish the text. Verse 45 says, and so it is written, the last man, Adam, became a living being. He produced a civilization of fallen human beings. the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He breathed into us His life through the gospel. And we became regenerate members of the body of Christ. We were, as the old preacher said, born again, right? Born from above, having God's life. Now, who's our father now? It's not Adam the first. Who's our father? Adam the last, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we belong to. We can track our heritage, our family tree now, back to Him. Not back to Adam the first, but back to Him. Look in verse 46, continuing. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. In other words, we have to go through this natural body to get to the spiritual body. Now, I don't like that. I'm not fond of that. Because this natural body of mine is wearing out. What about yours? Man, when I look in the mirror, I don't just see a wrinkle anymore. I see a lot of wrinkles. And I see aging. And I don't have the strength I once had. I don't have the agility I once had. I can't see as well as I used to see. I can't hear as well. This body is wearing out. But that kind of makes me long for my new model. It makes me long for my new body that I'm going to have one day. And when I'm thinking about this body and I'm thinking I'm locked in this body, I think about old Adam. Boy, Adam, you did a number on me. But the last Adam also has done a number on me. He's breathed into me His life, and He's prepared for me a new body, one that will live forever. Amazing. Now let's just read the rest of the passage and let the Word of God speak. Look in verse 47. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. That's obvious. That's Adam. And all of the race that followed him. The second man is the Lord from heaven. He came from a different place, didn't he? Didn't he come from a different place? He came into this world, the Bible says. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. His own creation did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the authority to become the children of God. So He's the Lord from heaven. Now look in verse 48. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And that's, remember, that's the natural man. That's everybody who's made of dust. And if you are not regenerated, if you're not given God's life, if you never hear or believe the gospel, then you will die and you will be separated from God forever. You're made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Now, this is the way we could say it. Those made of dust are natural people. Those made as heavenly people are spiritual people. So we got natural and spiritual. Spiritual is connected to the heavenly. The natural is connected to the earth. Made of dust. Now look in verse 49. I love this passage. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, have we? Bruce, I notice you have. Alan has. Look around, I see a lot of people made with a physical body. And they're now bearing the image of that physical body. So he says, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, notice the promise, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. One day, we're going to get a body. One day. But it's not going to be just any body. It's going to be a supernatural body. It's going to be a glorified body. It's going to be a powerful body. It's going to be a body destined by God never to die. It will never get sick. It will never grow old. It will never grow tired. And God is going to prepare a place for us to inhabit. He's going to give us a gigantic room of our very own one day in what we call the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. We're going to have a place to inhabit. Let me back up and go through it again because I don't want you to miss this. Adam the first is now producing a fallen civilization of human beings destined to die, to grow old and die. Temporary bodies. And one out of one, every unbeliever is going to die. And if Jesus doesn't come back, every believer is going to die. But on the other hand, I want you to understand this. The last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, is in the ministry now of procreating a new civilization of people, a new generation. He's using a heavenly seed called the gospel. And God the Holy Spirit is directing that heavenly seed supernaturally to the minds of those that would listen and hear. And that supernatural seed is being germinated. And as a result, we receive God's life. His life comes. I remember when it came to me, it changed my life. It changed who I am. I've never been the same since that time. He transformed my life. I was once a human, physically fallen person. Now I'm a spiritually alive person on my way to heaven. I once had temporary life, now I have eternal life. I once had a home in this life, now I have a home in heaven. See, the Lord Jesus, as the last Adam, is doing that right now. Now, my question is, have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Have you been born again? Have you believed in Him? Have you become a spiritual person? A spiritual man, or are you still a natural man? Now remember, a natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. But the spiritual man, on the other hand, he understands everything that God has for him or her. What about it? I want us to look at Philippians chapter 3. We're going to close right there. You might say, preacher, I've heard that before, but no, really we are. First Philippians chapter 3. We do have a pattern in the Word of God for the kind of body we're going to have. In fact, Thomas probably could tell us, if he were here, exactly the kind of body we're going to have. Because remember, he touched the Lord Jesus in His glorified body. He touched Him. And he felt the scars in his body. So he could tell us, if he stood up here and to testify to us, he could say, listen, I can tell you exactly what we're going to receive one day. I can tell you what it's like. But Thomas is not here, but we have the Word of God. Look in verses 20 and 21. We read, for our citizenship, Paul is writing here, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, see, that's what I want you to understand. Those of us who are believers, we're not really anxious to die and to be buried. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for a person to come back, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not looking for the undertaker. We're looking for, as I've often said, the upper taker, the one who's going to take us out of here. We want him to come back before we have to go through the shadow of death. I know in my family, I pray that he comes back soon so that I don't have to go through the humiliation of death and put my family through that. I want to go with the rapture. I want to go up with the saints of God. But he says here, we have a citizenship. He's in heaven. We are now citizens of heaven. from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look in verse 21, who will transform our lowly body, that is our body connected to this earth, our body from Adam the first, our fallen body, our temporary body, our body that's growing physically tired, physically weak, physically sick. Our lowly body, that it may be conformed, here it is, to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself. Here's the point. We're now citizens of heaven, and one day we're going to receive a body just like His glorious body. They see as a body right now. The Bible says He is, at this moment, seated in heavenly places, in the heavenlies, on a throne. Right now, the Lord Jesus is there. He's seated. And He has a body. And He's going to come back. And He's going to receive us to Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. But here's what I want us to see. We are told now to grow to love Him, to serve Him, to worship Him, the one seated at the right hand of the Father. That's His role as our high priest. We are believer priests living in this life today. We're all individual priests. We have our own little priesthood, but we have a high priest, and that's Him. And so we're to grow to love Him. And He's also operating as the head of the church. He's building His church. He's the one adding to His church daily, all around the world, people who are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. What about it? Have you trusted Christ? Has God the Holy Spirit made you alive? Have you believed the gospel? Have you trusted the Savior? If you haven't, would you do that? The offer is always there for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again. It's the Word of God. It's what it says. Would you trust Him if you never have? Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the words of the Apostle Paul. And thank You for him answering the question concerning the kind of body that we have, that one day we're going to have. The kind of body is that resurrection body, a body that has a unique flesh, a body that will be raised in power, raised in incorruption, never to die again. Raised a spiritual body, a magnificent body, likened to that of the Lord Jesus Christ, a body just like His. What a wonderful God You are. That's amazing truth, Father. It's life-changing truth. And I pray it's used by the Holy Spirit to draw people to Jesus Christ. Give us a longing for that new glorified body, just like the Lord Jesus. Give us a desire to be with Him. Thank You for our time today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?